Peter chapter 1, and we are going to break in at verse 3, and we're going to go to verse 9. And then we're going to take and we're going to kind of expound on these verses tonight. So we're going to start at verse 3. And it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again." I want to make sure I got that right. 1 Peter chapter 1. Yeah, I think I got it right. Yes. Okay. I'm okay. So, let me start again. It says, "Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto the lively hope by resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." And so as we thought about the topic tonight, or the thought, we're a tried people. We're going through trials. We're going through temptations. And again, I'd like to start at verse 3 and read again. But it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy..." And God's been merciful to us, each and every one of us. If we are saved and we're living for God, even maybe there might be one here tonight that are going through struggles, going through trials, going through situations. Maybe you're even having a struggle, you know, in your Christian walk with God. Christ is merciful. Christ is merciful. And he goes on to say, "Which to his abundant mercy, which hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." And as I was thinking about that verse, you know, one thing that we always need to be reminded of, young people, is this earth, this place that we dwell in, is not our home. This isn't our home. And Brother Borders very clearly explained that to us during camp meeting, that we're here for a very, very short space of time. We're here for a very, very short space of time. And many look forward to, many plan on, many strive for an earthly inheritance. You know, as my mother gets older, as you see people passing off the scene of action, you know, people talk about, well, you know, my mom's going to leave this. My dad's going to leave this. We're going to be left this as a family. People are planning on, or people are looking for an earthly inheritance. And all that is going to fade. All of that is going to perish one day. And if we don't get that inheritance, then it's going to be passed on to somebody else. We are not going to be able to take it with us. Those are things that are going to be left here on this earth when we go into eternity. But many strive for those things. And again, many things that have been brought into this world have been corrupted by men. I was thinking about that. You know, when it talks about that inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled, many things that have been brought into this world have been corrupted by man. You know, you can think of a lot of things. You know, the internet's a wonderful, wonderful thing, but it's been corrupted by man. there are a lot of things on the internet that we have got to steer clear of, right? There have been a lot of good things that have been brought into this world that is meant to be pure, meant to be, you know, meant to be undefiled, and it's been corrupted by man. And I think about, again, good devices used for evil. And how often have we put our faith in things of the world and we've been let down big time? Or people in the world and we've been let down big time? And I have, and I'm sure you have too, we've been let down. Why? Because these things have been corrupted. But how often does it happen, young people? You're at work. You're at school. You might be meeting, you might be talking to a particular group of people. And you start into this conversation, and it is totally meant to be an innocent, pure conversation. And somebody has to take and turn it into a very corrupt conversation. You know, I tell my students all the time, you know, and I might say something that's totally innocent, and one of my students will speak up and turn it into a very lewd, crude, or make a lewd, crude comment about what I had just said. And I said, I tell my students, I'll stop right in the middle of class, and I said, there is no place for this. There's no place for something like that. And so, again, a lot of things that God has created that have been meant to be pure, meant to be, you know, incorruptible, and here they are corrupted by man. And we're let down. We're let down. And I know that I'm still not quite into my thought tonight, but as I was thinking about this, you know, young people, if we are to inherit that which is incorruptible, that, you know, those things that will not perish, the things of this earth are going to perish. But if we're going to inherit that which is incorruptible tonight, we must live an uncorrupted in this life, or live uncorrupted in this life. We should not, young people, or we should strive. Let's put it this way. We should strive to not let the world corrupt us. We are surrounded by all kinds of corruption. We're surrounded by all these many things, but our aim and our goal, young people, is to live uncorrupted by the world. Would you agree with that? Would you agree with that? Because if we're going to make heaven our home tonight, again, we have to be perfect people. You've heard Brother Decker talk about this many, many times. When we are saved, we are made perfect. We are made perfect. Now, as we go through this life, we are to be perfected. So in other words, we're made perfect through Jesus Christ. But as the Lord works with us, as he shows us, as we mature in the things of God, God is working a perfecting work on us, right? Because why? We want to strive to become better. We want to strive to become closer to God. We want to become more perfect as we live for God. And as God sheds light upon our pathway, we want to walk in that light. We want to walk in that light. And so tonight, let's look at Galatians 6. Galatians 6 and verse 8. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8. As I was thinking about, you know, we're living in a world that's full of corruption. Those, you know, this world, again, everything, you know, everything in this world's going to perish. We can't take it with us. But Galatians 6 and 8, the writer says here, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall reap the flesh of the flesh, reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life." And so, what is the Galatian writer here saying? If we sow to the flesh, young people, if we sow in these earthly things, and we put value in these earthly things, that's what we're going to get back. All right? That's what we're going to get back. But if we take and we sow to those things that are of the Spirit, we invest in the heavenly treasure, what are we going to get? we're going to get that reward, or we're going to reap everlasting life. And so, young people, again, I want to reinforce what Brother Border said. This world is not our home. This world is not our home. And the things that we should be striving for, and again, I know that we've got the world pulling on us from every direction. I have the same thing too. All right? I don't think any of us are immune from the things of, you know, being pulled on by the things of the world. But we've got to have a carefulness. We've got to have a mindfulness about us that we need to make sure that we are putting the things of God first. We need to put those things of God first. Again, I know we have to work. I know we have to go to school. I know we have, there are a lot of things that we need to take care of in this life. And those are all lawful, legal things. But if we're going to inherit that incorruptible treasure, or that which is incorruptible, that inheritance tonight, we're going to have to make sure that we are not being corrupted by the world. And one reason the enemy works, again, as I was just pondering on these things today, one reason that the enemy works so hard against those who are saved is that we have something that he can't corrupt. The only way the enemy can actually corrupt something that is spiritual or heavenly is if we allow him to do that, right? We allow him to do that. But again, Peter tells us that if we have been resurrected from the dead and made alive without salvation, we are dead to sin. So if we're resurrected when we're saved, we are made alive. But without salvation, we're dead in sin. Just to clarify that, we're dead in sin. Now, through salvation, again, we're made alive in Jesus. Now we have an incorruptible, now that we have an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, it doesn't fade. And I thought about this. There's a lot of things in this world that fades. I had a car. Sun beat down on it. The finish faded. We have clothes that fade, right? We have clothes that fade. We have looks that fade. We have things that we're so excited about at one time, and because something else, maybe newer or better, comes along, that exuberance we had for that particular thing fades, right? Why? Because something newer and better comes along. I also thought about, as I was growing up as a child, we had, it was actually a sofa bed out in the family room, and when we were children, I can identify with some maybe in this room right now, but when we were very, very young, there were six of us children living in a two-bedroom home. My brother and I, we shared a sofa bed out in the family room. That's where we slept at night. But that sofa bed sat in front of a window. And over a period of time, with that sunshine coming in, not only did it start to fade, but it got so rotten when I pushed on it one night, my hand went right through the upholstery, because it was so rotten that after the sun beat down on it for so long, it was starting to rot away. And I think about that, young people. That's the way it is with everything in this world. Things fade. Things rot. Things become corrupted. And those things are going to fade away. Those things are going to fade away. Are you getting directions to heaven, brother?
Amen.
But anyway, spiritually, the corruptible things of this world will eventually fade and rot away. And those who remain faithful to God, this is one thing that we need to strive for, young people, is we need to strive to remain faithful to God tonight. We need to strive to remain faithful to God. But those who remain faithful to God again will inherit that which is incorruptible, undefiled, and unfading. Verse 5 in our scripture text tonight, it says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Here's the key. The first part of this verse is the key. And what does it say? Who are kept by the power of God. Who are kept by the power of God. We sing a song in our services sometimes. We are kept by the power of God. That's the whole theme of the song. But the key here in this verse is, to be a successful Christian, we must be kept by the power of God tonight. We must lean on God. You know, when we go through trials, when we go through situations in this life, we need to lean on God. But not when we just go through these things, but we need to establish a relationship with God. You know, that's really, really important. You know, again, as we have said many, many times, relationships are important. And we've got to cultivate those relationships. And it's no different with God. We need to cultivate a relationship with God. We must seek Him. We must seek Him. You know, you're at a stage in your life, young people, you're going to make a lot of important decisions within the next 3, 4, 5 years. Some of you maybe even sooner than that. But some of you are going, within the next 1 to 2, 5 years, you're going to be making a lot of important decisions. And you need to establish that, have that established relationship with God in order to make those right decisions. You know, we can make many, many decisions, but if we lean on, the Bible talks about leaning on our own understanding. If we lean on our own understanding, we're going to get ourselves into trouble. We're going to get ourselves into trouble tonight. So again, you know, when we try to stand in our own strength, we're going to fail. We're going to fail. You know, it may not be right away. You think, well, you maybe gain some confidence. You know, oh, I got through this, or I was able to do that, and I stood in my own strength. But at some point in time, you're going to fall. There is something that's going to come along in your life that you're not going to be able to withstand. And what's going to happen? You're going to fall. You're going to fall. And so that's why we need to be leaning on the power of God tonight. And that's one of the great deceptions of the enemy, is we can do this on our own. We can do this in our own strength. But he tells, you know, the enemy will tell us, you know, I can handle that temptation on my own. Can we really? Can we really? That's a lie. That's a lie tonight. He tells us that we can hang around a certain crowd and not be corrupted. That's a lie. We can engage in activities that we know that are wrong and get by with it. That's a lie. And so, young people, we need to be careful. Why? Because we're setting ourselves up for a fall when we think that we can do these things on our own and get by with it. We need to lean on the power of God tonight. 1 Corinthians 10 and 12. It says, therefore, and this is out... And this is out of the Amplified tonight. But it says here, therefore, let the one who thinks he stands firm, immune from temptation, being overconfident and self-righteous, take care that he does not fall into sin and condemnation. I want you to think about that. Here's a warning here in 1 Corinthians. It says, therefore, let one who thinks he stands... immune. Sometimes we think we're immune to a lot of things, and we're not. We're not. We're not. Sometimes we think we're stronger than what we really are. But here, Paul's saying in 1 Corinthians, therefore let one who thinks he stands firm, immune to temptation, being overconfident and self-righteous, take care that he does not fall into sin and condemnation. Verse 6 of our text tonight, it says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, or we could also put in there trials. Manifold trials. The Amplified says here, In this you rejoice greatly, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Have we been distressed by trials before? I have. And I think many of you have been distressed by some sort of trial in your life. And I think about young people, if we're going to make it to heaven to enjoy that incorruptible inheritance, we are going to be a tried people. We're going to be a tried people. But here's where we've got to lean on the power of God tonight. Our faith is going to be tried. The devil will put questions and doubts in our minds. You know, when we go through trials and when we're tried, what's one of the most famous things that the enemy will throw out there in front of us? God does not love us, or you wouldn't be going through the trial. How many times has that ever crossed your mind before? I think it's crossed everybody's mind. Anybody that's gone through a trial, and the enemy will come in and say, you know, God, if God really loved you, you wouldn't be going through this trial. Or when we read God's word, we're going to be tempted not to believe what the Bible says. You know, young people, we have to believe what the Bible is saying. In order for the Bible to be an active part of our life, we have to believe what the Bible says. It's the inspired word of God. You know, a lot of people and the enemy will make you think that, you know, that the Bible's not true. Many people will tell you that the Bible is just a bunch of stories. It's more than that. It's more than that. It is the inspired word of God tonight. But the enemy will do his best to make you think, or what do you want to say, to shake your belief in the word of God tonight. In our trials, we begin to believe that God's people don't care. There's somebody that sent me a text here not too long ago. And, you know, had just mentioned that, you know, nobody in the church is there to help me. That's not true. That's not true, but the enemy will make you think. The enemy will make you think that there's nobody around to help. Nobody cares for me. And that's not true. God cares for you, first of all. But there is a people right here within this congregation and as far as the family of God is concerned that cares and loves you, wants to see you do well. But young people, one thing that I also see is sometimes we don't get the help we need because we don't ask. And I know as a guy, and I know probably with a lot of you guys, we guys don't like to ask for help. Why? Because we can struggle through this. We can get it done. Right? And that's not true. That's not true. I don't care. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're male, female. We all need to ask for help at times. There are times in our life that we have to ask for help. And we have to say, you know what? I need help. And this is where I need help in. And so, young people, don't let the devil sell you on the fact that nobody cares for me because maybe you just haven't asked for help. And I told this person, I sent this text back to this person and said, you know, I want to help you, but I don't know where to help you. Can you help me help you? I think there's a lot of people that want to help, but they don't know how to help. Why? Because they don't know what your need is. They don't know what your burden is. And so, what do you want to say? That's where the devil gets us hung up. That's where the devil gets us hung up. And so when we're going through these trials, and the devil's saying, well, nobody cares. Well, I think we've got to do our part to reach out and say, hey, I need help. I need you to pray for me, or this is where I need help. All right? And I know sometimes God impresses us to, you know, I think this person really needs help, and so we can reach out to them. But on the other hand, sometimes, or many times, we suffer in silence, And sometimes, I know, sometimes I have a hard time picking up on things. And so sometimes just somebody reaching out and saying, you know, this particular person needs reached out to, or this person needs help, or somebody comes to me and say, I need help. And I know that there's a lot of people here within this congregation, within this youth group, that would be willing to help in any way that we can. And so young people, when we are tried, especially if we're in the trial a while, we also tend to think negatively. Something about being in a trial for a while, we start to think a little negative in our minds. All right? We start thinking, you know, we really get down and we think, you know, I'm never coming out of this trial. I'm never going to get the help that I need. So why keep trying? Why keep trying? I know that I'm sure that there are ones that have thought that. You know, I keep, what do you want to say? Going through the same thing. I keep coming up against the same thing. Why should I keep trying? That's a lie. That's a lie of the enemy. That's a lie of the enemy tonight. Young people, no matter how hard the trial is, we've got to lean upon God tonight. We need to take it to God. Again, we've got ones here that will, you know, we can pray, we can help, we can counsel and get counsel. All right? But sometimes we're in the trials. One of the things the enemy does is he gets us to think negatively. People are going to try us. People are going to try us. Even the people that we love most are going to try us. All right? Doesn't mean that we don't love one another, but we're going to be tried. Some of us have siblings. All right? Some of us have siblings. Our siblings try us. All right? Sometimes maybe we don't see eye to eye with our parents. And those things try us. There are people that we work with, people that we go to school with. They try us. But we need to make sure that we have the right attitude. We need to make sure that we have the right attitude. Remember, young people, above all, we're to be a light, right? We're supposed to be setting the example for those that are in the world, right? And sometimes I think God allows people to get under our skin just so we can be that light that we need to be. Now, that doesn't mean that it's not a trial, because sometimes people can be a real trial. But by the grace of God, that's what we ought to be saying. By the grace of God, you know, we're going to get through this. We are going to be the light that we need to be. Life is going to challenge us. Life is going to challenge us. If you haven't yet, there's going to be financial difficulties in life. There's going to be financial difficulties in life. Sometimes there's just too much month at the end of the money. Sometimes the paycheck doesn't stretch like it's supposed to stretch. There's going to be financial hardships. We could tell you about some of the financial hardships that we went through in our married life. And thank God we came out of them. But it was trying. It was stressful. It was stressful. But again, by the grace of God, we made it. There's going to be health issues. We're going to face health issues. And as you get older, if you haven't faced health issues, as you get older, you're going to face more. But there's going to be health issues that try us. I don't know. Sometimes when we just don't feel good, and it seems like that you just don't feel good all the time, that's a real trial, right? It's a real trial. Again, work situations. There's work situations that try us. But it's part of life. And again, as we said before, relationships. There's going to be relationships in our life that try us. But all these things will try us. Sometimes these things will shake us to the core. But it's all the more reason we must put our trust in God, young people. It's all the more reason that we must put our trust in God tonight. Verse 7 goes on to say in our text that the trial or the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it might be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Young people, we don't like trials. The flesh bristles against problems. We don't like heartache. We don't like disappointment. But if we endure, sometimes it takes just enduring things sometimes. You know, we would like to always come out on the mountaintop, or, you know, what do you want to say, be victorious all the time, as far as, you know, we got this thing whipped. But sometimes it takes enduring things. Takes enduring things, enduring hardship, enduring problems. But if we endure and we put our trust in Jesus, we will come through the fire. We will come through the fire. We can praise and thank Him. This is what this verse is talking about. We can praise and thank Him for bringing us through victorious and from saving us from the corruption of this world to inherit that which is corruptible tonight. Now, verse 8 says, "Whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, yet rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." We live in a world today, young people, that has commitment issues. People have commitment issues. And there are various reasons why, you know, more and more people don't want to be in committed relationships. But many are content with what you might say, when we're talking about relationships here, we're talking about, you know, many are content with just playing the field, moving from one relationship to another with no strings attached. But many approach their relationship with God that way as well. They want a relationship, but they don't want any strings attached. They don't want any commitment to God. And so, young people, let's be careful about letting, what do you want to say, the attitude of the world affect our commitment to God. Don't let the attitude of the world affect our commitment to God tonight. And again, many approach their relationship with God the same way they approach relationships in the world. And ones may say that they love God, but they don't want to be committed to Him tonight. So young people, don't let the attitude of the world affect our commitment to God. God needs us to be committed people to Him tonight. And lastly, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Young people, don't let the enemy shake your faith tonight. Don't let the enemy, when you're going through trials, when you're going through temptations, when you're going through situations in this life, don't let the devil shake you. Don't let him shake your faith tonight. God is looking for faithful, committed people. And when we go through these things and we come out on the other side, whether it's a trial, maybe it's other things, other situations in this life, but when we come out on the other side and we're victorious, and we continue to be victorious, there's many songs in our hymnal that talks about being victorious, being overcomers. And young people, we can be overcomers. And if we overcome to the end, then we will inherit that which is incorruptible. And that's what we should be striving for, young people, is to inherit that which is incorruptible. And those are laying up those treasures in heaven tonight. That's what we should be striving for. So we appreciate you. We're thankful for you. And we want you to be successful in living for God tonight.